spasms of habit.
"Gee,"
said Cohen hesitantly. Mr. Savaloy gave him a big smile and a nod of encouragement.
"Give it to,"
Cohen's lips tensed around the word,
"him." "Yes, well done. In exchange for the apple. We'll talk about making change and saying thank you later on, when you're ready for it. Now then, Cohen, here's the coin. Off you go."
Cohen wiped his forehead. He was beginning to sweat.
"How about if I just cut him up a bit?"
"No, this is civilization."
Cohen nodded uncomfortably. He threw back his shoulders and walked over to the stall where the apple merchant, who had been eyeing the group suspiciously, nodded at him. Cohen's eyes glazed and his lips moved silently as if he were rehearsing a script. Then he said,
"Ho, fat merchant, give me all your one apple and I will give you this coin."
He looked around. Mr. Savaloy had his thumbs up.
"You want an apple, is that it?"
said the apple merchant.
"Yes."
The apple merchant selected one. Cohen's sword had been hidden in the wheelchair again, but the merchant, in response to some buried acknowledgement, made sure it was a good apple. Then he took the coin. This proved a little difficult, since his customer seemed loath to let go of it.
"Come on, hand it over, venerable one," he said.
7 crowded seconds passed. Then, when they were safely around the corner, Mr. Savaloy said, "Now, everyone, who can tell me what Genghis did wrong?"
"Didn't say please."
"What?"
said Mad Hamish.
"No." "Didn't say thank you."
"What?"
"No."
"Hit the man over the head with a melon and thumped him into the strawberries and kicked him in the nuts and set fire to his stall and stole all the money."
"What?"
"Correct," Mr. Savaloy sighed. "Genghis, you were doing so well up till then."
"He didn't ought to have called me what he did."
"But venerable means old and wise, Genghis."
"Oh, does it?"
"Yes."
"Well, I did leave him the money for the apple."
"Yes, but you see, I do believe you took all his other money."
"But I paid for the apple,"
said Cohen rather testily. Mr. Savaloy sighed. "Genghis, I do rather get the impression that several thousand years of the patient development of fiscal propriety have somewhat passed you by."
"Come again?"
"It is possible sometimes for money to legitimately belong to other people," said Mr. Savaloy patiently. The horde paused to wrap their minds around this too. It was, of course, something they knew to be true in theory. Merchants always had money, but it seemed wrong to think of it as belonging to them. It belonged to whoever took it off them. Merchants didn't actually own it. They were just looking after it until it was needed. "Now, there is an elderly lady over there selling ducks," said Mr. Savaloy. "I think the next stage..." "Mr. Willie, I am not over there. I am sure whatever you are looking at is very interesting, but please pay attention. Is to practice our grasp of social intercourse."
said Caleb the Ripper.
"I mean, Mr. Ripper, that you should go and inquire how much it would be for a duck," said Mr. Savaloy.
"What?"
"And you are not to rip all her clothes off. That's not civilized." Caleb scratched his head. Flakes fell out.
"Well, what else am I supposed to do?"
Engage her in conversation."
"Eh? What's there to talk about with a woman?"
Mr. Savaloy hesitated again. To some extent, this was unknown territory to him as well. His experience with women at his last school had been limited to an occasional chat with the housekeeper, and on one occasion the matron had let him put his hand on her knee. He had been 40 before he found out that oral sex didn't mean talking about it. Women had always been to him strange and distant and wonderful creatures, rather than, as the horde to a man believed, something to do. He was struggling a little.
"The weather?"
he hazarded. His memory threw in vague recollections of the staple conversation of the maiden aunt who had brought him up.
Her health?